We bless your name for your faithfulness in revealing your truth and your word to us every time. We're asking, Lord, that today your word will impart every heart, every life, every believer, and the whole church in Jesus' name. Amen. Imprint your word into every heart so that, Lord, this word, when we need to act, how we live, how we behave, where we go, what we say, Lord will not say, we forgot that word. Write the word on the table of every heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. I need a good amen. Now God needs a good amen. God bless you. You can see that we're coming to the study of the word tonight. And tonight we continue with our study in the epistle general of James. We're looking at James chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. When it says the tongue can no man tame, it's talking about the ordinary man. It's talking about the natural man. It's talking about the sinful man. It's talking about the depraved man. It's talking about the carnal mind. And a carnal man, the man that doesn't have real conversion and real consecration, devotion to the Lord. The man that doesn't have conviction to be obedient to the word of God, that man cannot tame his tongue. Remember that the tongue is connected with the heart. And if the heart is uncircumcised, the tongue is uncircumcised. If the heart is unsaved, the tongue is untamed. If the heart is not controlled, then the tongue cannot be under control. That's why it says, but the tongue can no man, no unsaved man, no unconverted man, no carnal man, no sinful man, no pretending man, no traditionally religious man can tame. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, therewith bless we God. When it says we there, it's not talking about the apostle himself. It's not talking about the other apostles. It's not talking about real brethren, true brethren, converted brethren. When it says that with a little helm, we control the horse, it's not talking about the apostle. They didn't ride horses. And when it says with a little helm, we control the big sheep, they were not, sailors. It uses the word we in a general sense. Like we, the world, we, the people of the world. That's why it says that therewith bless we God, general man, even the Father, and curse we men. The apostles were not cursing. Believers were not cursing. It's talking about the natural man, and it says therewith the natural man cause men, which are made after the similitude of God. In verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth, out through the same tongue, out through the man, the same man with the preach, out of that same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, if we remain brethren, if we're not backsliders, if we're still saints of God, if we're still children of God, it says, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Tonight, we're studying these verses 8 to 12, and we're looking at confusion, in the contradictions of the tongue. Confusion in the contradictions of the tongue. When the tongue speaks good and then the next sentence speaks bad. When the tongue uplifts and then in the same moment it downtrodden people. When the tongue encourages and then the very next sentence discourages is the confusion. The confusions of the tongue. The confusion in the contradictions of the tongue. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the contradictions of the unstable tongue in unconverted heart. Please always understand, the tongue is just the one that speaks what's in the heart. And we'll say that tongue is bad. Actually, the heart bad. The hand, what the hand does, we may blame the hand. That's a bad hand. That's a cruel hand. But actually, you know, it's a cruel heart. And the feet may go somewhere. Where the feet go, it's not just the feet, it's the heart. And the heart that determines, that directs, that dictates everything. And so we're talking about the unstable tongue, but actually it is the unconverted heart that brought that out. Number two, we're looking at the condemnation of untamed tongues in uncircumcised heart. When the heart is uncircumcised, the tongue will run loose. When the heart is not under control, when the heart is not cleansed, when the heart is not saved, when the heart is not pure, when the heart is not circumcised, when the heart is not sanctified, the tongue will run loose and it will be expressing things that will bring condemnation. Number three is the contribution of unblameable tongues in Christ-like hearts. That's what we want. That's where we're going. That's what we desire. That's what we should pray for, that our heart shall be converted, our heart circumcised, our heart cleansed, our heart Christ-like. And when the heart is Christ-like, the tongue will follow after that, and the tongue will be unblameable. The tongue will be unblemished. The tongue will be unspotted. The tongue will say that which will build up life, build up his own life, and build up our own lives, the people who surround him. Let's come to number one. Number one, we're talking about the contradictions of the unstable tongue in unconverted hearts. We're coming back to James chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 8. James chapter 3 verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. That's the contradiction. Blessing people and blessing God and praising God, and yet that same tongue will curse men. It will show on one side affection. It will show on the other side anger. And when affection and anger, when they come out of the same tongue, there's contradiction there. That's why it says, therewith these are converted men, and these are converted women. They bless God and then they curse men who are made in the similitude of God. Look at verse 10. In verse 10 it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Contradiction. Contradiction number one, there is blessing coming out, there is cursing coming out. There's something pleasant coming out, there is something painful coming out. There is something energizing coming out, and there is something enticing also coming out. The contradiction. And we're told, as we read verse 11 says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? It's saying that this is unnatural. The same source of water bringing out sweet water and then bitter water. It says that's not right. And this is the contradiction we find in the tongue of man. On the one hand, sweet. On the other hand, it is bitter. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it tells us here, can the tree, the fig tree, my brethren, bear only berries? What strange thing will be when you go to the farm and you see the same tree is bringing out orange, that same tree is bringing out purple. That's not right. That's unnatural. That cannot be. And it is telling us that the contradiction of the same tree bringing out banana and bringing out pineapple at the same time, it says that's contradiction. And it should not be, and it cannot be. And it says in the same thing, when the heart is controlling the tongue, and the tongue appears to be bearing different kinds of fruit. It says it's the contradiction that comes in the lives of people. Number five, for what we are looking at, it tells us of the people that are tender and yet at the same time they are threatening. Tender and threatening is the contradiction in the tongue, in the mouth of an unconverted man. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, Moses, please come. I have sinned. Pray unto the Lord your God that he'll take all these things from me. And then Moses went and he stretched the rod to heaven. Everything was quiet. And then the next time Pharaoh was going to talk to Moses. He said, by the way, how many of you are going? Are men, are women, are children? Well, go. We're not going to leave a hoof behind. Get out of my sight. He got angry. He was furious. The man who was just tender now, the other time, is now threatening. The next time you see my face, you will die. Are we surprised? The man was unconverted. And because of that unconverted state of mind, that's the reason why he had that contradiction. Have you seen people like that near you, around you? They seem to be tender. They seem to be loving. All of a sudden, we don't know what happens, that they now threaten. And they're now furious. The contradiction shows the condition of the heart. Number six, there's confession. There is covetousness. We're talking about Balaam. Balaam was the one that told God, oh Lord, if you don't want me to go, I will not go. And he told those people that came from Balak, go. Tell your master, if your house is full of silver and gold, I will not go with you, because the Lord forbade me to go. Balak sent other people more honorable than the first said. And then he said, wait, let me go and pray. And God said, you want to go. Okay, you can go. He was so happy. And then he went as was going. The angel met him. You know the story. and the ass turned this way and that way, and the donkey made his foot to strike the wall. He beat the ass, the donkey, and God opened the mouth of the ass, and eventually they conversed, and now he saw the angel, and he quickly bowed down. I didn't know you were there. And the angel said, your way is perverse before me. I would have killed you and let the ass. And the man still said, his covetousness now. On the one hand, he said, I have sinned. Confession. But on the other hand, if you don't want me to go, then I will turn back. That's his covetousness talking. You find people, in his own case, he became a false prophet. He became a backslider. He lost the relationship, the conviction that he had in the Lord before. He was still praying, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. But his heart was filled with covetousness. And when he couldn't get the money, he counseled Balak to put his stumbling block and introduce all the women of Moab. That those children of Israel, they began to commit sin with the women of Moab. And many of thousands of them died. And that was what Balak wanted. The man with the heart, one side, is, saying, I confess, I'm sorry. On the other hand, the covetousness is coming out of the tongue. Another thing that we find is there is blessing and corruption in Balaam. He was blessing the people, and yet he brought corruption. And when you find yourself that you are neither here nor there, you are neither totally positive nor totally negative, and your tongue can be positive, and your tongue, that same tongue, can be negative. Remember, it's not the tissue, the tongue, the thing, very soft, that doesn't have any bone, that's not it, it's the heart. It's because your heart is unconverted. It's because your life is unsaved. It's because your personality is undependable, unreliable. That's why you're having blessing and corruption coming out of the same mouth. Number 8, there is praise and murmuring. The children of Israel just came out of the Red Sea, and on this side they began to praise the Lord. In Exodus chapter 15, reading from verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now those children of Israel, they were so happy, joyous, hilarious, excited, and they were praising the Lord. Look at verse 24. That same chapter, the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? When you find yourself at a service praising the Lord, and you just got out, you are even around the premises of the church, you just praise God now, and the same tongue, complaining, murmuring, grumbling, and, saying some unprintable things. Actually, it's not just your tongue, it's your heart. If the heart were converted, saved, circumcised, that kind of double talk will not be there. That the praise is coming out of one side of the mouth, and the murmuring, the complaining, the grumbling is coming out of the other side of the mouth. You see this contradiction of a nine, willing and willful. Willing and willful. the children of Israel. They told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 42 from verse 1 to verse 7. They said, go ask the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, that we will do. If he wants us to go, we'll go. If he doesn't want us to go, well, we'll not go. You will think these people now, they have changed. That's just outward expression. On the one hand, it appeared they were willing. But when you look at chapter 44, look at verse 16. Chapter 44, verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But they were willing in chapter 42. Now they were willful. And he said, we will not hearken unto you. See somebody running to the Bible study. I don't want to be late. I want to meet everything. I want to catch everything. Willing. And then after hearing the word of God, repent and believe the gospel. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. And it says, repent, do the first works, because your work is not right before me. Your heart is not right before him. And you are running to the Bible study as if you were willing. But now you hear the word of God, make right your life. Correct what is wrong. When you bring your gift to the altar and you remember someone has ought against you, leave that gift there. Because the gift with that bosom sin, that besetting sin, is not acceptable unto the Lord. The gift with that wickedness, with that deliberate iniquity, is not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Then you say, no, that's not what I came for. We want blessing, we want healing, we want deliverance. And all this, repentance, restitution, righteousness, willing on the one hand, running to the Bible study, willful on the other hand. You know why? You are not converted. You are not saved. You are not born again. And that is the double dealing of the people who are not born again. Number 10, much love, yet much disloyalty. In Ezekiel chapter 30, Ezekiel chapter 33, we're looking at verse 30. It says, and thou, son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls. Well, you know the people, they come, as for coming, they're regular. As for coming, they are punctual. As for coming, it appears you will always find him there. You'll always find her there. And you'll find them doing all the writing. Yet, they talk against the preacher. They talk against the pastor. They talk against the proclaimer of the word of God. And they talk negative. He's saying this. He thinks he's going to bring us back to those early years of deeper life. And he's saying, never. It will not happen again. Salvation, conversion, righteousness, it will not happen again. He seems to be emphasizing holiness, sanctification. They say, we will lose. And they always come. They're always there. And they're always dutiful. And yet they say, holiness will not happen again. Sanctification will not happen again. They're talking against the preacher by the walls. And they speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. In verse 31, and it come unto thee as the people cometh, and the siege before thee as the people, and as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. You know, sometimes you are surprised. We hear a full message as if we're going to read from Genesis to Revelation on marriage. And we set everything in order. And the people excited, they say, this is great. And then we say, everybody should listen to this. And everybody almost clapping, saying, yes, yes, we're going to listen. And the people get back home. And the old habit, and the old life, and the old insincerity, and the old harmfulness, and the same old emotional outburst is still coming out. They see like the people, they hear like the people, and they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. The Lord is telling us, if we have this kind of here and there, black and white, salt and tough, and we have this kind of willingness and willfulness and wantonness, is telling us is the condition of our heart, and we need to turn to the Lord. On the one hand, the fellow appears virtuous. It's like she's full of virtue. He's full of virtue. From the words that come out, hold on, don't comment yet. Don't be sucked in to their pitch. Listen to the next one, the virtues. It appears there's virtue. It appears the next one is vice. You see, it's a heart that has not been converted, a heart that has not been saved. Other people, they appear delightful. Hear the man saying something so very good and very nice. I have not found any fault in him. I don't find any sin in him. Why should you crucify? Why should you kill a good man like this? And then on the other hand, say, okay, what have you done? Am I of your nation? Tell me, what's the matter with you? And what is the truth? On the one hand, delightful. On the other hand, submitted him to them to be crucified. We need to be very sure of who we are. If you're a man, you're not a man and a woman at the same time. You're not a man in the morning and a woman in the evening. You're a man morning, afternoon, evening, and night. If you are saved, born again, it's not that you are saved, you are unsaved. You are converted, you are unconverted. You are nice, then you are naughty. No. Salvation in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, every time. Because if the heart is changed, if the heart is transformed, the tongue will be transformed uniformly, permanently, every day and every time. The thought of the heart will be the same. If you are born again, if you are saved, the mind will be the same. The thought will be the same. And the tongue, the utterance, will be the same. I pray if when anybody who is not saved will go to the cross and be truly, really, genuinely born again in Jesus' name. You know that you are going to give another amen. When was the last time you saw anyone really praying under conviction? When was the last time you saw anyone in this Bible study stretching out himself on the altar, leaving every other thing and saying, I discover I must be converted? And if you don't see anything like that, no wonder we come and come and come, and yet, because the heart is not saved, because the heart is not converted, because the heart is not transformed, so we have this kind of double dealing here, there, black, white, dark, light, evil, good, like Pharaoh, like Balaam, like Nebuchadnezzar, like Herod. We must be born again. We must be converted. We're coming to point number two now. Number two, we're looking at the condemnation of untamed tongues in uncircumcised hearts. The desire of the Lord is to circumcise our heart. That's why he gave the promise. It says, and I will circumcise. This is not circumcision by Moses. This is not circumcision by any man. This is circumcision by the Lord himself. It says, he will circumcise our heart and the hearts of our children, so that we will love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, that we may live, not live and die, die and live, that we may live, live righteously, not live righteously and unrighteously, live holy, not live holy and live unholy, live sincere, not live sincerely and live insincerely, live in a righteous way, not hypocritical, and then later we appear to be transparent. When there is this evil coming from the tongue, it shows we have not allowed God to circumcise our heart. And I pray he will circumcise every heart in Jesus' name. We're looking at James chapter 3. From 8 to verse 10, we'll give the explanation. Look at number 1 here. Number 1 is talking about the kind of life that people live with their tongue. Number 1, crafty tongue. Crafty. They are crafty. They think they are clever, but they are crafty. They are deceptive. And that crafty tongue shows the evidence of a heart that has not been touched by the Lord. Number 2, flattering tongue. The people that flatter with their tongue. It tells us in Psalm 5, verse 9. It says, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. You can't depend on what they say. I am a member. He counts himself a member because he comes to the church. I am saved. He counts himself saved because somebody hurriedly took him to the riverside and dipped him inside water. I am sanctified because one day he raised up his hand, sanctified. But the raising up of the hand did not sanctify the heart, did not change relationship between her and her husband. Her husband will be trying to manifest gentleness, tenderness, affection, love, and trying to obey what we're learning. But she remains ever the same. She might wear a loving face, but a cruel heart. So we need to really understand those who have those flattering tongues, they are not really of God. Look at that verse. It says, their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and yet they flatter with their tongues. Those are the manifestations of the tongue of the people who are not saved, who are not born again. And number three, it says, it talks about mischievous tongues. Well, look at Psalm 10, reading from verse 4. Verse 4 tells us why they're mischievous. It says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Look at this, God is not in all their thoughts. God is not in all their thoughts. In the marketplace, God is not in their thoughts. In the office, God is not in their thoughts. Even at home, God is not in their thoughts. The only time they think about God, we're in the service. We're singing unto the Lord. We're praying unto the Lord. We're studying the Bible. That's the only time God is in their thought. But when they go out there in the bus, in the taxi, interacting with neighbors, cooking in the same kitchen with their neighbor, and using the same facilities with their neighbor, and the fellow is not coming out in time, banging the door, what are you doing there? Don't you know the rest of us are here? They're mischievous. And then they will say, a stumbling stone for them to stumble at, because God is not in their thought. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Then it says, under his tongue is mischief and vanity. And it's all because of the heart. If you're going to have a straightforward talk, a righteous talk, a uniformly righteous life, your heart must be transformed. And then number four is the proud tongue. In the proud tongue you have Psalm 12, reading from verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? That the problem, they say God is not in control. They say Christ is not in control. They say the word of God is not in control. All that's in control is their lips, their tongue. Number five, deceptive tongue. Those who deceive, lying tongues. Number six, lying tongue. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These things that the Lord hates. At that time, at this time, and forever. God is still the same. What he hated at that time, he hates at this time. What he hated with the children of Israel, he still hates with anyone claiming to be in the church today and claiming to be the Israel of God. And yet, they're doing with their tongue what the Lord hates, and what he hates in that generation, he hates in this generation. And if you're doing the things that God hates, you're not born again. You're not a child of God. You're not a follower of Christ. You don't look at your life, what I like, I do. But my friend, what you like, God hates. And you do that constantly without thinking of God. God is not in your thought. And because of that, I do what I like. I enjoy that. Of course, there are wicked people who enjoy ill-treating their servants. They enjoy it. That's why they do it. The wicked people, sinful people, who enjoy breaking the promise they made. We'll train you for 3 years. After training you for 3 years, we will settle you and do this and do this. And now, 3 years have gone, sir. 3.5 years, sir. 4 years have gone. You said you will settle me. Then he smiles, he laughs, he likes, he loves, kind of frustrating other people. And those people should know, because you are not born again, because you are not a child of God, what you delight in, God hates. These things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that. Read everything. Verse 18. In verse 18, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be sweet in running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The fellow who stays behind the closed door, stays behind the curtain, and is manipulating and doing things, causing disagreement between husband and wife, causing conflict between members of the family, and is at the back of the door, is smiling, is happy. You will never detect him. He will never show his face, but is causing discourse in the church of the living God. You know such people, they are here to destroy. They are not here to develop. They are here to scatter. They are not here to gather. And if you are like that, it's your heart. The condition of the heart is what makes you to do that. You need to come back to God and repent. You know, you are doing something, and because we cannot see you, the people we see, we think they are the people doing it, and so we're rebuking them, we're correcting them. And they too, they're saying, what have we done that this man or this brother, whoever, is talking to us like this, and they knock heads together. But the people who are really doing it, and they are smiling doing it, they are there in the secret, causing discourse, discord and conflict in among the brethren. I pray the Lord will convert and save all the unconverted hidden people in our midst, in Jesus' name. And now we're looking at number 7 is perverse tongue. Perverse tongue. Number 8 is the tormented tongue. The tormented tongue. Eventually, the rich man died, and he went to the great beyond, and his tongue was tormented. His body was tormented. Here on earth, rich man, a man of authority, a man of power, a man nobody can talk to, a man nobody can control, a man no preacher can face. His tongue will send you off. Now it's over there, and he's tormented in that flame. In Revelation chapter 16, reading from verse 10. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his veil upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnashed their tongues for pain. Verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Those people, the followers of the beast, the followers of the Antichrist, they blasphemed and blasphemed and blasphemed. Judgment came. Their tongue was in pain, in a torment. And that's how it will be for all unconverted, unsaved, untransformed people at the end. We're looking at number nine is the poisoning tongue. The poison of asp is under their tongue. Number 10 is the unbridled tongue. If any man seem to be religious among you, fervent among you, devoted among you, consecrated among you, serviceable among you, bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion, this woman's religion is vain. The unbridled tongue. Number 11 is the defiling tongue. The tongue that defiles the lives of other people. In James chapter 3, verse 5. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That's those who have not been born again, those who have not been saved, those who have not been cleansed from their iniquity. The tongue is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. It defileth the whole body. Defilement, immorality, evil, pornography, everything is stemming from the heart. The heart that is not regenerated. And then the tongue contributes its part, and it says on the fire, or it says on fire, the course of nature, and it says on the fire of hell. Set on the fire of hell. Do we really believe? Do you really believe that the word of God is true? That what you do with your tongue, you defile people with your tongue, with your conversation. Do you believe if you die suddenly without a chance to repent, your life, your destiny, your eternity is set on fire? And then we're told number 12, untamed, just untamed, just uncontrolled. He cannot keep quiet a moment. He must talk. Everything he sees, he must comment. Everyone he meets, he must talk. And what he's talking is not edifying. What he's saying is not encouraging. What he is bringing out is not building up anyone, and it's not building up his life. And yet he is so thoughtless, she is so thoughtless, that he doesn't think this untamed tongue will sell you out. Will sell you out. You are angry. No, I'm not angry. No, I'm not angry. But look at your tongue. Look at what is coming out. You are furious Why do you say I'm furious? I'm all right. You are not all right. Look at the way Nebuchadnezzar spoke. And look at the way you're speaking. You're furious. And you are frustrating what you say. The way you talk to other people and the way you behave to other people, this is frustrating. What's frustrating there? We feel it. We feel the frustration. Your action, your tongue. Take it back to Calvary. Why are you arguing? The argument only shows you are covering up. Let's go back to the cross, and then our tongue will be transformed. Our tongue will be tamed. Our tongue will be truthful. Our tongue will be helpful. Will help other people. Please remember, it's not just the tongue, the hand. What the hand does, the heart dictates. The heart directs. It's not just the tongue and the hand. The feet, where your feet go. It's not the feet. There's no decision factor in the feet. It's the heart. Where your feet go. What your mind thinks is the heart. And if we take the heart to the Lord, it will transform, it will change our heart, and our lives will become righteous, holy, beautiful. Let's come to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the contribution of unblameable tongue in Christ-like hearts. Heart, mind, like that of Christ. And if we're going to contribute anything, it is through the tongue we contribute. Start from the preacher. If the preacher is going to teach anyone, instruct anyone, direct anyone, and preach the gospel, is the tongue. But you remember, the scripture is not on the tongue, it's in the heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if we're going to speak the words of love, it's not the tongue. The heart is full of love and affection. If we're not going to criticize other people, it's not the tongue, it's the heart. The heart is cleansed of criticism, dangerous and destructive criticism. It's because the heart is now pure, and the heart is now yielded unto God. That's how we contribute. The preacher, that's how he contributes. You're going to contribute anything to the building of your family. It's the tongue. Your heart is in the right direction. You're thinking the right thing. You're planning the right thing in the heart. And then your tongue will contribute to the building of your family. If you're going to break down your family, if you're going to scatter your family, if you're going to cause disaffection in your family, it's the tongue. It's the tongue that contributes. And if you're a businessman and you have customers, and those customers are going to come back and keep coming back, it's the tongue that contributes to that. The way you talk to them, the way you relate with them, and the tongue has much in that. If you're going to train your children and you're going to bring them up in the way of the Lord, the tongue is the contributing factor. How you speak to them, how you instruct them, how you guide them, how you teach them, it is the tongue that actually contributes to the training of those children. And if you are going to live a profitable life to your neighbors, a profitable life to the people that interacts with you, and they love to be with you, and they love to come to you, and they love to work together with you, it is your tongue that brings the contribution that you ought to contribute. That is what the Lord is teaching us today. And once the heart is a heart of affection, of love, of righteousness, of holiness, that wants to do good, as much good as you can do to other people, your tongue will follow suit and will contribute as well. The contribution of unblameable tongues in Christ like us. There are 12 things here. Number one is the contented tongue. The tongue that is contented is happy. It's not asking something from you that you cannot give. And because the heart is satisfied, the heart is contented, the tongue is contented. Number two is the soft tongue. And because the heart is soft, it's no more the stony heart. The Lord has taken away the heart of stone, and he has replaced that with the heart of flesh. If the heart is soft, the tongue will be soft. And the words that come out, soft word, tender word, pleasant word, will build us up. Number three is the kind tongue. The kind tongue. Actually, in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. The people who appear wise outside the home, outside the family, they open their mouth with wisdom. They know, if I don't open my mouth with wisdom, this customer will not buy. Their salesmen outside, they open their mouth with wisdom. When they're talking to neighbors, when they're talking to co-workers outside, they open their mouth with wisdom. When they come back home, they leave that wisdom in the office. Now they're at home, I'm talking to the woman. And so the woman would, you know, what do you want? Sir, why don't you manifest the wisdom of speech that you manifested outside with your customers? Why are you that? Sometimes the woman, everybody loves her. Everybody, she's such a nice, wonderful woman. Yes, outside. Because outside, she opens her mouth with wisdom. But coming back home, she just talks anyhow. He is my husband, so I can give him the negative part of my heart. If you are born again and sanctified, there'll be no negative part of your heart. And he's talking about the home, that who can find a virtuous woman. Her price is above rubies, and she will do good to her husband every time, every day, and not evil. And then he goes on, she openeth, continuous present tense, not open in the past, not will open in the future. My husband, watch me. Things are going to be better next year. This year, today, is what we know. Open your mouth with wisdom. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue the law of kindness. She makes it a law to herself. Anytime I open my mouth and I use my tongue with my husband, not on my husband, but with my husband, I'm going to open my mouth with kindness. Number four is the learned tongue. The learned tongue. In Isaiah chapter 50, we're looking at verse 4. Learned tongue. Be a man, a woman that learns, and you bring your learning to your tongue, and then you use a learned tongue. You learn how your husband feels when you put pressure and you talk rough to him. You learn how your wife feels when you lash her with the tongue. Learn. And you learn how children go to their den, go and hide when you bring out those words, angry words. And those walls are even worse than beating them with whips. Let's have the learned tongue. It says, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. That's the learned tongue. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, and weak, and weakness me morning by morning. He weakness mine ear to hear as the learned. The people who read so much Bible, and when they come out and they speak to you, we don't know what they have read in the Bible. From January to this time, they have read so many chapters, but what their tongues bring out does not reflect anything they have learned from January to this time. It's still the same old language, rough language, rough behavior, frustrating attitude, frustrating behavior. If we learn, let that learning also show on our tongue, on our hands, in our feet, in our thinking, in our mind, in everything that we do, so that we will know the Lord has given you the tongue, the thoughts of the learned. If you're learning anything, let it show in the life you live. Let it show in the actions of your hand. Let it show in the words of your mouth. And then there's a cleaving tongue. The Lord told Ezekiel, he said, anytime I don't have a word for you to speak, I'll make your tongue cleave to the root, to the top of your mouth. And when I have a word for you to speak, I release your tongue. Can we think of that? That when you don't have any good thing to say, that will encourage him, that will encourage her, that will lift him up, that will lift her up. Then don't do anything. Don't say anything. Let your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. Because you don't have anything you are going to say. If you open your mouth at that time, you will destroy man, you'll destroy woman, you'll destroy people. Don't destroy. Nothing good to say, be quiet. Nothing uplifting to say, keep quiet. And don't use your hand. If you don't have anything to improve, if you don't have anything to raise up, lift up, don't use your hand. Let your hand cleave to your side. If you don't have anything to say to that person, don't go there. Don't use your feet. Let your feet stick to the ground. And don't just go here, go there. You're going in too many places. What are you going to do there? What are you going to do there? If you don't have anything good to contribute, stay where you are. Hold your peace and don't say anything, because, you know, our tongues, our hands, our feet, our mind, and our actions, they destroy too many lives, and they destroy the people who are closest to us. And then number six, the truthful tongue. Truthful tongue, the references are there, you can read on your own. And number seven is the new tongue. They will speak with new tongues. And number eight is the confessing tongue, that will confess that Jesus is Lord, Lord of lords and King of kings. Let our tongue confess that, and let our lives also confess that. The bridal tongue, bridal tongue. You know, bridal tongue is a tongue that you pin down with a bridle. Control it with a bridle. Not just talking every time. And in the every day, you offend people by what you say. If you had kept quiet, your quietness will not offend them. If you had held your peace, your holding your peace will not confuse them, will not frustrate them. I heard of, you know, some young people, and they are contemplating to take their lives. They won't contemplate to take their lives if they were not frustrated. Somebody is saying something that they feel, what am I living for? If you can't encourage them, if you cannot build them up, if you cannot comfort them, why don't you hold your peace and just be praying for them in the secret? You hear of even adult men and aged men and aged women in their ages. They are crying and saying, when am I living? Why am I still here? There are older people than them. I read about them. They are 102, 103, 110. They are happy. And they want to keep on living. You know why? The people that surround those aged people, 100, 105, 110, they're talking nice to them. They're talking good to them. And they want to keep on living. The people who are not so aged, they're frustrated and they're crying and they're saying, this is frustrating. Long life is a burden because of the hands of people around them, what they do. Because of the tongues of people around them, what they say. They're not enjoying life. They're just enduring life. But if we're going to contribute, we bridle our tongues so that we can be of benefit to people. We're not frustrating them with our tongues, with our action. And then the refrained tongue. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm looking at verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain, control, restrict his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. That they speak no guile. There are people that toy, play, gamble with lies, with deception, with guile. And sometimes, unfortunately, it happens in homes. The husband is tripping the wife and says something that makes her to go on a fool's errand, worried, anxious, and then comes back. That thing you told me, I tried to check. Did you? I was just playing with you. And you said that so seriously and almost destroyed myself because of what you said. Bridle, refrain, restrain the tongue. You're talking to somebody you love, and what comes out of your mouth is not spelling love. It's not showing love. It's not translating love. It's translating deception. It's translating oppression. Refrain the tongue. 11 is the praising tongue. Zechariah had been dumb all these months that Elizabeth, the wife, had been with the pregnancy of John the Baptist. Now the child is born, and he opened his mouth, and the first thing he will say, glory be to God, praising the Lord. You can praise the Lord every time like that. You've been quiet. When you open your mouth, no angry word, praise the Lord. In number 12, is the edifying teaching tongue. Rather speak five words in my language, in a known language, than 10,000 words in an unknown language, that I may edify, that I may teach others. We've learned so much on the tongue in connection with the heart today again. And the Lord is saying, we've heard, this is the way. Go and do it. May the Lord give every one of us grace to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Another good amen. Amen. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Talk to the Lord. What the Lord has revealed. And you know the heart is the real issue. Allow me to ask you, are you born again? Please, don't get offended. Walker, usher, don't get offended. Security man, don't get offended. Choir man, choir woman, don't get offended. Preacher, coordinator, worker, are you truly born again? Does the mouth reveal that you are born again? Don't get offended. That's why I'm here, to help you recollect and to help you think through the way my tongue is at home with my wife, the way my tongue is at home with my husband, the way my hands act, the way my feet move, the way I act. Does it show that I'm truly converted? Not because you do anything to me that can stop me or hinder me. I should be above that for these many years now. But because of your own soul, are you born again? Does your heart show you have repented? Does your tongue show you have repented? Preaching apart, singing apart, walking in the church apart, church activities apart, your title apart. Are you born again? Is your heart transformed? Is your heart changed? Converted? Circumcised? Sanctified? Purified? How does your tongue tell the real inner story of your life? Tell the Lord. So that we're not just carrying religion and the tongue is selling us off as adamant unbelievers. Where do your feet run to? To the house of sin partners is your heart. And once that thing is burning in your heart, your feet will be running towards mischief in the heart. What do you write? What do you type? What do you text? What do you send to people? Well, the hand. It's not the hand, it's the heart. A converted heart, a circumcised heart, purified heart, sanctified heart will give instruction to the hand, and you'll be contributing positively to the lives of people. You'll not defile anybody's life. You'll not frustrate anyone. When your heart is converted, consecrated to the Lord, circumcised by the Lord. Your tongue will not kill your husband before his time. You don't have to use a sword. You don't have to use a knife. Those discouraging words piling up, piling up, piling up at home can kill the man before his time. Give him hypertension. Give him cardiac problem. And can weaken the strong man of the house. Your tongue, your hands, your action, your feet, your attitude. It's all from the heart. You encourage your husband. Your husband is sent to go and preach the word. Obey the Great Commission. My wife, we are now going to such and such a place. Who is going with you? We. You think I buy all this kind of, you know, go here, go there. Go tell the person who sent you, I am not going with you. I need you to do this and do this and do this. And then you speak all the terrible words that push the man away. You can kill your husband before his time. With your tongue, you can kill your wife before her time. She doesn't even have the desire to stay here anymore. Outside, the in-laws are throwing words at her. The neighbors are throwing terrible words at her. And at home, you throw arrows with words at her. She doesn't want to live anymore. I'm hooked here. I'm chained here. I cannot divorce the man. And yet, I'm dying under the dagger of his tongue. Take your heart to the Lord and take your tongue to the Lord. Don't be like the people of Ezekiel's days. Let us go and hear the word of the prophet. Let's go and hear him. What does he have to say today? And yet, they will not obey the word. They told Jeremiah, go ask from the mouth of the Lord, and we will do everything you say. And he sent Jeremiah on a fool's errand. Pray, seek, ask, stay at the altar. And then the Lord gave him the word. And then he came to the people. You told me to go and ask the Lord, to go and bring a message from the Lord. I have brought it. Here is the word. And he said, as for the word that you have spoken, in the name of the Lord, we will not do it. Why did you run to the Bible study? Why are you eager to be here? And you say, I will not get there late. I will not get there late. Why? They do show much excitement and interest. And you came. Why did you come so early to clean up the sanctuary? Eager, eager, eager. to prepare the place for the Bible study. After preparing the place, after the eagerness, after the excitement, after the running, what are you doing with the word you have heard? No change in the heart. No change in your tongue. No change in your action. Why are you reading so many chapters of the Bible every day? And the thing does not affect your heart, doesn't affect your tongue. Tell the Lord, bring that heart to Christ and let Him change, transform, turn around the heart for the better. And then the tongue will speak right words that will contribute to the building up of your life, building up of the lives around you, and building up of your home, of your family, building up of the lives of your children, building up the church of the living God. Words that edify, words that encourage. You've stayed too long on this low level. Come up. Go forward. Let the tongue become new, kind, loving, considerate, thoughtful, merciful, edifying, profitable, the tongue. And the action. And the attitude. All from the heart. Change. Turn. Go up. I will, when you go out of the auditorium, don't say I will not. Have a bridle on your tongue. Have a control in your heart. A control on your feet. A control on your attitude. A control on your hands. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Quick to hear. If for mansions on high you sigh, raise just one word. Just obey. Just obey. If you're truly in a Savior's hand, you must do as he commands. Don't stop to reason why. There is just one thing to do. Just obey. Just obey. As God spake to men in days gone by, he has spoken to us now today. My brother, my sister, this is true. When the Savior speaks to you, when the Spirit speaks to you, when the message comes to you, there is but one thing to do. Just obey. Just obey. No argument. Obey. No debate. Obey. No contradictory attitude. Just obey. No self-will. Just obey. No carnality. No depravity. Just obey. No old habits taking hold of you. Just obey. No satanic control over your life. No yielding to the devil. Just obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we do thank you. What a loving God you are, to reveal your might to us. And who are we? Because you love us, and because you do not want us to perish in our old ways. And so you've spoken in your word by your Spirit and through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the Scriptures. Lord, we pray that your word will take effect in every heart, in every life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Change our hearts. Soften our hearts. Recreate our hearts. Circumcise our hearts. Wash clean our hearts. And Lord, we pray it will affect our tongue. You will circumcise our tongue. You renew our tongue. You restrain our tongue. You will bridle our tongue. You will bring new words of encouragement through our tongue to edify people around us in Jesus' name. Amen. As you transform our hearts, the actions of our hands will change. The movement of our feet will change direction. The thought of our mind will also change in the right direction. Our mind will be the mind of Christ, and our life will contribute positively to the lives of people around us, and to the lives of members of our families, and to the growth of the church positively in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that this will not be a temporary change. It will be a permanent change. That the change, the transformation, the conversion, the consecration, the circumcision of heart will still remain and abide until Christ comes. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.